So are we in Luke chapter 8? Okay, before I read this, I just have a thought that I want to share with you. Well, I was asking you earlier about how can you be different than when you came here. You see, we go through life, we're born, and hopefully we have parents that are mature and healed and have right perspectives, and hopefully they raise us up by loving us, caring about us, training us up, teaching us things. I heard about little Emelina in the hospital. And here's a three-year-old. She's still three, right?
Yeah.
Man, she's hanging. Seems like she's been three forever. And here she is, this little girl. She's 3 years old. But her mommy, one of the Bosnians, came here. Well, that's how we got connected with the Bosnian clan, was because of little Emelina in the hospital. And because her mommy needed more than what she had, and she kept reaching out to God and started off as a, what was it, Muslim? And then it was like that wasn't working, and then tried Christianity in generic form, and that wasn't working, and then God brought us in her life, and we brought her to Jesus, and she met Jesus. But she didn't just meet Jesus. She did not just meet Jesus. She needed Jesus. She needed Jesus in her life. Now let me give you a thought. How many of you want to be loved? Unconditionally, eternally loved. John, this is the time you're supposed to raise your hand. Let's try it again. How many of you, there you go. Okay. I thought you just wasn't getting it. I was speaking Bosnian. Blah, blah, blah. Did you get that now? Okay. Now, here we go. Y'all going to have to help me when I go over to these countries. They speak all these languages. And that's it. I know. And my wife has said yesterday when we were talking about it, she said, Harvey, I got this iPad. I just got an iPad recently, which I love because I've got this little iPod, but my eyes aren't like what they used to be. So now when I have this iPad, I can read it easier. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to put glasses on and my arms are only so long. And, you know, then I can't, you know, says the words get too far away. You know what I mean? And I just hate wearing glasses. I just don't know what it is. I just have a hard time putting them on. So I get this iPad and now I can make these big letters, you know, dog, chase, cat, you know, and then I can change screens. You know, it's easier for me that way. So little Emelina's mother, Mercada, needed Jesus. Now, you've heard my story about I was a drug dealer and I met Christ. And see, I needed Jesus. See, you want to be loved. But you want to be loved, not this little bumper sticker, I heart my chihuahua stuff. You want to be eternally, unconditionally loved. Don't you want somebody that would just love you for who you are? Love you for who you are. But they would love you enough to help you grow in the areas that you're weak and in the areas that you're hurting, help you get the strength, the healing that you need. Don't you want somebody to love you so much that they would never give up on you? Don't you want, I'm sorry, is that what you want? I mean, really? Because everybody on the planet wants this. See, everybody on the planet wants Jesus, but they don't know it's Jesus. Most people on the planet do ABC, anything but Christ. Okay? And then that's why the planet is like it is. That's why people are like they are. That's why the majority of people, thousands of people dying every day going to hell. Very few go to heaven. And they're going to spend eternity separated from what they've been looking for their whole life. Love, acceptance, joy, light, peace. And it breaks my heart. And I told you, when I got saved, because six different denominations, six different churches had baptized me by the time I was 20, and nobody had told me how to know Jesus. They just told me about Jesus. You know, God didn't call us to be encyclopedias filled with a bunch of knowledge. You could know all about George Washington, but when you meet him, you could know all about somebody. Let's pick somebody. I don't know. Who could we pick? No. I'm saying somebody like, who would we want to meet, Lord, on this earth, you know? I don't know. Who? Yeah, I know. I'd like to meet Abraham Lincoln. How about, Bill Johnson. Let's talk about Bill. Well, let's don't talk about Bill Johnson, but let's, there's this guy named Bill Johnson. He loves Jesus, okay? And he's this guy that walks with God, and he's out in Washington or California or somewhere out there. Yeah, Redding, California, that's it. It's all out, just way out there somewhere. And you could hear about him. You could read a biography of his life, blah, 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 hear about all the things God does through him. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I'd like to meet him. And you know about him. But when you meet him, he's my friend. When you meet him, and when you get to spend time with him, and you get to hug him, and he hugs you back, and you just get to, like, put your hands on him and look in his eyes, he doesn't know what to do with it. Go ahead and sit down. When you get to know somebody, it's like it's different than knowing about them. Some of you, like a couple of you in here today, maybe you heard about Brother Harvey. And you're like, I don't know. Sounds like a character to me. I don't know. Whatever. But then when you meet me, it's like my wife says, whether you like me or not, you're never going to forget me. You know? It's like that's just how I am, you know? You either like me or you really don't like me, you know? It's like it's not one way or the other. And when you're wanting truth and light and you're walking with God, guess what? You really like me. And when you're not right with God and stuff, a lot of times people don't like me. Okay? And it's okay. Because I tell you, I'm not looking to, I'm not looking for a popularity contest here. To be honest, Father loves me. And whether everybody else on the planet has a hard time with me, I hang out with Daddy, and I know how to put my hands on his cheeks, and I know how to look in his eyes, and I know how to sit on his lap. Because I've had a lot of hurt and a lot of pain in my life, and I tried every other way to get it, and it didn't work. But then when I met Jesus, and then he brought me to the Father, and see, I only knew Jesus from 1976 until 1983. And then in 1983, I kept saying, I want more of you. And I kept spending more time with him in prayer and reading the Word. And, of course, planted in a church. And you know what? In 1983, he said, you want to know more of me? And he revealed himself as the Holy Spirit. And I got to know him as the Holy Spirit. And then in 1995, it was like, I just want more of you. I don't want just more of you. I want all of you, God. If you're married, you don't want part of your mate. You don't just want the wife to do the cooking and the cleaning and, you know, when you come home, give you a handshake. You want everything. You want all of her. You want to have this intimate, blending relationship. Well, in 1995, Father said, I'm going to let you get to know me as Father. And I love my dad on earth, but my dad I didn't even know till I was in the third grade when he remarried my mom. And then when I was going in the ninth grade, he divorced my mom. That's when I got into drugs. I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying that's what happened. Well, I was a needy person. And when I met God, because I had so many needs, he came and filled those needs. Now, some of the people we're going to talk about today in Luke chapter 8, they don't have so many needs, or they aren't looking to God to fill those needs. And that's why they're doing sex and outside of marriage. And that's why they're doing drugs and drinking. You know, there's 162 verses in the Bible against drinking alcohol. Do you know that? Do you think God has a stuttering problem, needs therapy? Or do you think we're slow learners? He's trying to make a point. 162 times. If you just want to know one of them, go look in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker. When you drink, it mocks you. See, I don't care what you think. You're deceived. Go ask the people around you, how do I act when I drink? If you're honest and you're open, because our critics, people that say things we don't like, our critics are the unpaid guardians of our soul. We need to open up and allow people to speak into us. It's called accountability. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So I meet Jesus and I'm needy. And He just comes and fills me. As much as I could at the time. And it was like I just met Him and I just got so overwhelmed with meeting Him that I just said, I want You no matter what. And it was a process because it took God 10 months and 3 days to move me from Tennessee down to Florida, out to Arizona, up to Michigan to get me in a church. And I tried going to churches in between, but God didn't want me to go to those churches because He wanted to get me to Michigan because He wanted me to marry that lady back there. And she's from Michigan because I was never going to come up north here. If you ever been down south and see all the Yankees and how they drive and how they talk and treat people, you would never want them either. But God brought me up here because this is where God wanted me. And I never served God till I got up here. So I like Yankee land. And I love you Yankees. You know? I love you. I do. It's a choice. I love you. But I'm needy. But if you're needy, you can have more of God. And see, you are needy. But you might be trying to fulfill your own need in a way that doesn't satisfy. Do you want to be satisfied? All 4 of you. Does any of the rest of you want to be satisfied? Would you like to be satisfied? Do you want to end up in divorce? Do you want to end up being lonely? Do you like it when people reject you and when people try to manipulate you? I want to help you to have a fulfilled life. I want to help you get where you want to go, where God created you. Today, please pay attention on purpose. Maybe you've heard me say this before. At the end, there's a test. It's called your life. If you fail this test, you're going to fail in life. Please pay attention on purpose. Luke chapter 8. Let's start with verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to Him, Jesus, out of every city, He, Jesus, spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, the seed withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when He had said these things, Jesus cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9 and 10. You ever wondered why sometimes when you read the Bible, if you ever read it, when you read it, sometimes you'll go, why is it written? Why did God have it written like this? Why didn't He make it just all like Dick and Jane and Fluff and Spot thing? You know, why didn't He just make it all simple. And I'm going to show you verses 9 and 10 why. His disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And Jesus said, "Unto you," are you listening? "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others in parables," or in stories. Why? "That seeing," oh, I see. He said, "seeing they might not see. In hearing they might not understand." If you walk with God and you talk to people about God and they just look at you like an RCA dog, you know, they go like this. Huh? That's an RCA dog. You ever seen that little guy? Huh? Or they got that blank look, like lights in the eyes of a deer. Huh? Huh? Phew. Right over their head. Why aren't they getting it? We're going to talk about that today. You, each one of you in this room, are in this story today. Because we're going to talk about, Jesus talked about different kind of hearts. Your heart is in this story. Verse 11. Jesus says, "Now the parable is this." He says, "Let me explain it to you. Let me put the..." Jesus basically said, "Let me put the cookies on the bottom shelf so you can get a hold of it, Devis." You ready? See, that's how I like it. That's how I pray. "God, would you..." I know I've got all this Bible college. I know I've read the Bible from cover to cover many times. I know all this stuff. But God, when I'm reading, would you just, Daddy, would you just put the cookies on the bottom shelf so I can get a hold of it? And he's like, "Son, that's what I'll do for you. But when I go in there, I already know this. I know that. I've got all this understanding." And I start reading it. If I go to preach that way, it's cold and dead and boring. Because I went in with pride. God's kingdom is a kingdom of humility. Now, if you want to stay in pride, you can't be part of God's kingdom. Proud, self-sufficient, don't need anybody, independent spirit, like America teaches, that's not God. God wants us to be dependent. He wants us to need one another. He wants us to recognize other people's strengths and bond with them. He's strong in areas I'm weak in. My wife is strong in so many areas that I'm weak in. That's why she's my completer. So I can prove that I have the best wife in the whole world. Because, you see, I'm the most incomplete man. So, judge, she has to be the most complete woman. So I rest my case. I got the best wife in the whole world. Because I'm the most needy man. Now, the guys that think they're all so cool and stuff. Okay. God wants to work with you. Because He's not going to give up on you. Unfortunately, you've given up on yourself and stopped Him. So He has to allow hard things in your life to break you. God, I don't want to be hard. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Jesus says, "Now the parable is this. The seed that the sower went forth to sow, the seed is the word of God." Whose word is it? Okay, so it's not my word. It's not my opinion. It's not some denominational treaties or, you know, writing. It's God's word. Do you know who God is? He made you. You're His creation. That means He's the creator. You get how big this is? He says the seed that's sown is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while they believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that seed which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked. The seed is choked. The life of the seed is choked out with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And that seed can bring no fruit to perfection. That heart, that soil where the seed fell in, cannot bring forth fruit to perfection. And then he gives another heart. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Verse 11, the parable of the sower. The seed, what is seed? Seed contains life. Are you listening? Seed contains life. Seed has to be planted. People, scientists, they can't figure out seed. How can this seed sit here in a place for 10 years and do nothing? But you take that seed and you plant it the way God designed it. They think it's dead in the warehouse. But you take it and you plant it. And it goes the way God meant it to be. It's placed where God meant it to be. That's why you need to be placed where God meant you to be. That's why I was telling you that earlier, young lady. Okay, about being planted. God, where do you want me to be planted? Because there's a promise when we're planted. Seed, you could have it for 10 years doing nothing. In a bag. Pull it out, plant it in the ground. Dark, covered over, forgotten. Guess what? God designed it when it's there to break open. It needs the moisture. It needs the warmth of that earth. It needs to be planted to begin to produce and what it was here for. And it has life. It contains life. Life from God. Seed has to be planted. It has to be received to have an effect. It needs time to do its job. Now, are you ready? He said in verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. It has life in it. Go read a newspaper. Go read a magazine. Go read a good novel. You might get moved, whatever. But I'm going to tell you what. When you read the Bible, it has life in it. You cannot read it and it not affect you. It's impossible. I can read newspapers, I can read magazines, I can read other things that people say. Okay? I've read the Iliad and the Odyssey by Homer. I've read all these books, you know, The Hobbit, all these different books as I was growing up. I read all these things that they told you to read in high school and all this stuff. Okay, read, read, read. Okay, I read it. Oh, okay, isn't that wonderful? You know? But here I am, a drug dealer, smoking a joint, reading the Bible for the first time in my life. And it so affected me, I put the joint out. I couldn't quit reading it till I went to bed. So I had ended up reading four books in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today we're in Luke. I read four books in one night because I could not. It was so alive. It was so captivating. It was so... And guess what? I was receiving it. It was being planted in my heart. And because I was receiving it and allowing it to do its job, the next day I was so moved. I was a door-to-door salesman trying to pay my way through college. And the next day I went door-to-door. And when people came to the door, I said, look, I had a little satchel. I carried around samples of the different books I was selling. There were six different books. And I would say, look, I'm a Bible salesman. I'm trying to pay my way through college, but I don't want to talk about that today. I was reading the Bible last night and I got three questions. Are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I'm an American. Do you go to church? Yeah, twice a year, whether I need it or not. I'm a C&E Christian. I go Christmas and Easter. Do you know anything about Jesus? Oh yeah. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. They just smell. And for 5 hours, all I got was a bunch of opinions. Come join our glee club. Come meet my preacher. Quit this. Start that. Get baptized. I had done everything they told me. And I said, look, here is a Bible. Take it and answer questions for me out of this Bible. Whatever you're telling me, I don't need. Answer, I don't know how I talked to people that day, but I was going to hell. And I didn't have time to play games. And I handed him a Bible and said, take the Bible. You said you go to church. Now show me the answer. And for 5 hours I did that. And when I realized they couldn't show me, because every one of them, if they even touched the Bible, some of them were, I go to church, but I don't touch the Bible. Shame on you, if that's your answer. And then some of them would take it and they'd like thumb through like this. Oh, well, it's in there somewhere. I don't need, that didn't help me a bit. What'd you even tell me that for? And you know what I did? Thank you. Have a good day. And I ran to the next house. When you get to heaven, you check out the video. You'll see I ran from house to house. Because I needed Jesus Christ, because the night before when I was reading that Bible, I saw Jesus Christ. And I had been told all about Him. Hadn't really affected me. I mean, I did everything churches told me how to do. And I was still on my way to hell. If you don't believe me, turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to quote it to you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. He says, not, are you there? Okay. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone, Jesus is talking. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we've cast out devils. And in thy name we've done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I, Jesus says, you ready? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me. Go. He said, you've got a father. He said, I was your creator, but your father was the devil. You were a liar. You were a murderer. He said, you never came to Jesus and realized I needed you to die for me because I am a sinner that has to pay for my sin. You could know about it. But until you make Him your Savior, you have a different Father. And He loves you. Shoot that thing. It's not me, is it? Good. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Just step on it. Okay. So here we go. We could take it baptized. I know where we could do that. Okay. You hear it back in there. You know. Look in Luke 8. Go back to Luke 8. I just want to show you something. Verse 11. The seed is the Word of God. He's talking about the Word is sown. The Word is put forth. Right now, I'm putting out the Word of God. Your hearts, how are you going to receive the Word? I'm a sower. Number of you in this room, every one of you ought to be a sower. But a number of you in this room are called to be preachers. Some of you in this room are called to be teachers. Some of you are called to be prophets. Some of you are called to be worship people. But every one of us, what you're full of, you already talk about. Well, wouldn't you like to talk about Jesus? Okay, exercise time. Stand up. Here you go. You ready? Repeat after me. God, I want to get empty of self, sin, Satan, the world system, and my stinking thinking. And now, put your arms up like this because you're a funnel. God, I want you to fill me up with high test premium from heaven. You younger people don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that gas where it's like 375, but then it's 405 for the good stuff. Well, that's the good stuff. Okay? High test premium. I want you to fill me up with high test premium from heaven, which is the Holy Spirit. Fill me up. So everywhere I go, Jesus comes out of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Have a seat. Verse 12, I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 12. That's where I want to go. Verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. How do we hear? Look in, go down to verse 18. We're in Luke 8. Go down to verse 18. In verse 18, he says, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. See, you're responsible for how you hear what's even said today. Okay? For whosoever hath or already has something, to him shall be given. And whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. See, what you think you have, what you already have, if you receive what God gives you, He's going to give you more. But what you have already, you think, well, I've already got this, I don't need that. God's going to make sure that you even lose that. Because God's not playing. Because God created you for a purpose. And God knows you are not going to be happy without Him. He is the missing piece to your life. If your life, I've said it this way, if your life was a puzzle, Jesus is the missing piece. And when Jesus, anybody in here got saved before? Would you agree with that? You got saved, you know Jesus, okay? And when you meet Him, He's the missing piece. And it's like, I just want more of Him. Is that right? I'm sorry, say it out loud so that everybody else around here knows that it's not just my opinion. Is that right? He's after you. He's after you. Now you can run. You can run. He doesn't have to run as hard because He's bigger. His steps, I can run 500 steps and He just takes one. He's going to get you. You can run, but you can't hide because He's light. Let me ask you a question. It says in the verse, those by the wayside, and I wanted to talk about that first of all, those by the wayside, but I'm looking for it. Where did I put it on here? Those by the wayside. Oh, okay. Why can the devil take the word from your heart? Look at the verse. Verse 12. Look at it. Those by the wayside. Now, who's the people by the wayside? We're going to talk about that in a minute, but watch this. Those by the wayside are they that hear. They hear the word. They're not out there shopping today. They're not out there jogging and acting like they're spending time with their family. These are people that are hearing. This is you. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil. You know who the devil is? He is the enemy of God. And because you are made in that likeness of God, he's your enemy. Because you can release God. You can love God. You can praise God. And so the devil hates your guts. You get to go to heaven, and the devil used to be a worship leader in heaven. But he did not have the standards. He did not have the right groundwork, the right foundation. And what he did was, if God was up here, and Satan's here, because his name used to be Lucifer, am I making this up? You go look in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Write it down. Go look in those chapters. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. It says that basically Lucifer was worship leader in heaven. He's worshiping God, but he took his eyes off of God, and he probably looked back and he saw all the angels worshiping God, but he took it to himself. Hey, they're all following me. Hey, I'm the leader here. Hey, this feels good. I'm up front. So if we have people that get up on this platform, because we've told them, anybody, you get on this platform, including me, you get up front, something's not right in your spirit and stuff, we're not going to allow that to keep happening. You need to take some time out. If you don't take a time out voluntarily, I'll give you a time out. You know why? Because I don't want any other spirit but Jesus. Do you? You know the song, right? I only want Jesus living in me. Only want Jesus. Don't you know the song? Sing it. Come on. I only want Jesus living in me. Only want Jesus living in me. Want no bad devil's going to kick him out. Want no bad devil's going to kick him out. Only want Jesus living in me all the time. How many of you heard that before? How many of you not heard that before? You want me to sing it again? Okay. Only one? Okay. All right. All right, we're going to learn this song, okay? Because you need to learn this song, because you need to learn to sing it all the time. Because you only want Jesus living in you, right? You want light and truth and life and peace and joy? Or would you rather have pride, anger, rejection, hatred? Do you like all that stuff? Want no bad devil's going to kick that booger out, you see? Because I only want Jesus living in me. So there's choices we have to do for that to happen. Okay? It's not just having warm fuzzies for God. How many Christians have you known they fall? Their lives are not, they're inconsistent. They go through divorce too. They lose their business. All these things that they do, they're depressed. They're self-pity. Why? If they're a Christian, why? Because there's things they haven't learned in following Jesus. Now, do you want to do that, or would you want to be strong and consistent? That was a question. Do you want to be strong and consistent, or the other? The other? Well, I didn't hear you. Which one? Consistent. That's the word. That's what I was waiting on. Okay. You got to realize He wants to be strong in you. It's not you becoming little Popeyes or what would y'all call them? Supermans. Batman. What we're full of comes out of us. Anyway, here we go. So here we are. We're in verse 12. Why can the devil take the word of God out of your heart? Can I show you? It says he's talking to people, the first group of people, and I'm just wanting to know where your heart is. Because when I get through with each group, I'm going to ask you, if you're in that group, I'm going to get you delivered right this minute if you want it. But if you want to stay there, you just sit in your seat, okay? But you'll see when we get there. You ready? The people on the wayside, let's read the verse again. Those by the wayside. Now watch this. This guy's going along sowing seed. Okay? In the natural, he's a farmer. He's sowing seed. Well, you don't sow the seed where you're walking. That's a hardened place. Okay? As a preacher, I'm preaching, and now there's different hearts I'm preaching to. Those by the wayside are they that hear, but then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be delivered or be saved. Do you want to stay where you're at? Do you like all the stuff that's inside of you, or would you like to get delivered? The name Jesus means deliverance. See, I want to get Jesus. You call it being delivered, I call it being Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one who can deliver me. The name Jesus means Savior, Deliverer, one who sets another free. Come deliver me. Come Jesus me. You get it? Okay? Those by the wayside, who are they? They're people that are not in the way of God. They're people that are on the side. They're not connected. They're not committed. They're spectators. They're visitors. Now, don't take it the wrong way. If you're visiting here today, praise the Lord. Glad you're visiting. But I'm trying to help you to understand. You need to get connected. Over in John 15, first eight verses, Jesus says, I am the vine. Are you paying attention? This is on the test. I am the vine. He says, ye are the branches. Now, have you ever taken a branch? I know you have. Have you ever taken a branch and peeled it off a tree or off a bush? You ever done that? You know what I'm talking about? What happens to the branch, John, when we do that? Bark comes off, and then what happens to the branch? It withers and dies. Why? If we were going to put it in simple words, why? Why does it die? Because what? Can you read my notes? I love this. Come on, say this out loud. Say this out loud.
Go ahead while I'm hugging you.
It got disconnected from the life source.
Do you hear that? It got disconnected from the life source. Jesus said, now watch, are you getting this? Okay, remember how we do baptism, death, burial, resurrection? Well, we're going to do another one. You ready? Hold your arm up. Jesus is the vine. Come on, come on. Okay, you can get it. Okay, there you go. You ready? Jesus is the vine. He says, we're the branches. That means a branch needs to be connected, vitally connected to the vine. You get it? Are you vitally connected to the vine? Are you so connected that you're letting His life flow into you, first of all, which makes you alive? Because you could tell when a branch is connected because it's alive. It's green. Green produces photosynthesis. Photosynthesis produces oxygen, which is what we breathe. That's why you get around some people, they're vitally connected to God, and they're an actual breath of fresh air. So many people suck or draw or take the life right out of you, don't they? So many people, when you're walking around, don't you see people the way I do? Nah, 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 nah. They're all walking along like this. Life's so hard. Everything's so bad. I can't make it. Everybody's against me. You know, they won't let me run the world the way I want. They won't even, I even let them drive on my road, but they're getting my way. I have to pass them on the side of the road. I didn't make this up. I see them all the time. Everywhere I go, I'm like, God, what is wrong with them? He said, they're not connected. They're not connected to Jesus. They're not connected to Jesus. They're not connected to the life source. Whatever they are connected isn't giving them life. Do you want life? I don't know any other life. If you think life is in Muhammad, then go to one of those places. If you think he's in Buddha, go to one of those places. Those guys are still dead, but you want to go worship them, go ahead. My God lives. And He's alive in me. And it's not me, it's Him in me. You wouldn't even like me without Him. I don't like me without Him. But when you like me, it's because you're liking God in me. Because whenever you come in contact with me, when I'm not getting out of the way, every one of you has experienced that, and that ain't fun. I mean, let's get real. Because you're the same way. I'm just more extreme than you are. So, I mean, I get to you real quick, you know. Luke 8, verse 12. Why can the devil take it from our heart? Because we're on the wayside. We're not in the way of God. We're just off on the side somewhere. We're spectators. We're not connected. Why else? Because we're hardened. When the seed fell, if you've ever gone to throw seed on something, like if you threw seed on that tile floor over there, it would just lay there. It would not get down in there. Why? Because it's hard. Well, guess what? There's people that are hardened. Why are they hardened? Number one, maybe they've been hurt. So now they try to put up this self-protection thing where nobody's going to hurt me. So maybe if you're there in a minute when I say, if this is your heart, then I want you to stand up because I want you to get delivered from that because I want God to heal your heart. Do you know why I act so silly? Do you know why I go around and hug everybody? Do you know why? Go ahead, Eric. Why? I got Jesus living in me, but do you know why Jesus has me do this? Number one, it's because others won't let him. Because y'all are all worried about what everybody thinks about you, and I don't really give a rip. Okay? Because I can live without you. I can't live without Jesus. And I've learned to let him come and hug me, hold me, kiss my little boo-boos when I hurt. The other day I'm talking to a guy on the phone, a customer. I get 300 phone calls a day on my business. This guy, I'm talking to him, and I've noticed that he's like chafing, or what's another way to say that? He's resisting. He's having a hard time receiving the way I'm talking. And after a little bit, he says, "Do you know what?" I go, "What?" He said, "Do you know how obnoxious you are?" He says, "I don't want to do business." Right in the middle of whatever I'm talking about, he just stopped me and goes, "Do you know how obnoxious it is to listen to you?" He says, I don't want to do business with you." And I said, "God bless you." And then he hung up. And then I was walking around, because when I start talking, I pace. And I work out of my home. So I was in the kitchen, because I was pacing, and my cat follows me everywhere. And I'm in the kitchen. And he says, "You know how obnoxious you are? I don't want to do business with you." And I just, "God bless you." I didn't know what else to say. "God bless you." Didn't say, "Bless your enemies." "God bless you." And he hung up. And I just stood there like this. I start trying to do the Christian thing that a lot of y'all try to do. Okay, that's his problem. Okay. I'm not for everybody. Okay, I start telling myself all these little things. But I'm trying to walk away, and my heart's still hurting. Does your heart hurt when people reject you? Does your heart hurt when people hurt you? But what do we do? See, a lot of times what we do is we yell at them. We scream. You know, we puke all over them. They don't know that we're hurt, because all they can see is that demon of anger coming at them. And I'm just like, see, remember, it's the kingdom of humility, not the kingdom of pride. Okay, you ready? So I'm standing there, and I said, all these things I'm telling myself, it's not working. So dumb. I'm so glad I get to be the dumb example. Okay. And so then I just stood there and I said, "Daddy," I just like this, "Daddy, that hurt. That hurt my heart. Would you come and heal me?" And man, he just was like, he just showed up and he just like kissed on me and just hugged me. And it's like, next thing I knew, I'm just seeing him. You know why? Because Daddy loves his little boy. And he's waiting for me to come to him. He can't bless me doing any ABC, anything but Christ. He said, "Come to me. Come unto me." Matthew 11, 28 to 31. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Don't you want rest? You don't even get rest every time you sleep. Because a lot of times you wake up and you didn't get a good night's sleep. But when you can rest in God, here, let's see. I need them to see it, so come here a minute. Okay? Sit right there. You're going to be Daddy. I really need a bigger Daddy. Come here, bigger Daddy. Here, hand him. Here, you hold this. Come here, you be big Daddy. Come here. Come on, sit right there. Come on. See, and then I just climb up on Daddy's lap. And I just hold Daddy. And he holds me, and he just loves on me. Now, thank you, brother. Thank you for being here. Don't you Wouldn't you like to have that relationship with Jesus? Okay. You could cry. I was crying, but it wasn't coming out yet, but I could feel it in my eyes, you know what I mean? But it wasn't like... You know what my wife taught me, helped me to get on that? Or God was teaching us that at the same time, but I think I got it from my wife because I heard her say this, and then I started doing it. When I get hurt sometimes, I just go into the bedroom, or like at night, I go in there and I grab a pillow. And I just say, Father, would you come be this pillow? Just let me imagine that you're this pillow. And I just hug my pillow. Because I'm hugging Father. You see, I get hurt a lot. Hang on. I want to get through this. Okay? Write it down. Just write it down. But I get hurt a lot. So I have to get my loving on the go. Because I get hurt a lot because I'm a very outward person. I know y'all haven't noticed it yet, but I thought I'd let you know. I'm kind of this outward person, and everywhere I go, it's kind of like I invade or interrupt the room wherever I go. I don't mean to. I try to be calm. I try to fit. It doesn't work, does it, John? It's like I try, but it doesn't work. And so I get looks all the time, you know? The look, you know? I got the look! You know? So what I do is I just, Daddy. Now, sometimes I go to the bathroom because people have a hard time when I lay down in public. People have a hard time when I grab a pillow in the waiting room at a steel case. They don't understand me. So I try to not mess with them too bad. So I go in the bathroom where I can be alone. Of course, if anybody else is in the bathroom, they're probably like, that's why they get out real quick. You know, because of things they hear me say, you know. Daddy! And it's like, oh no, it's this grown man yelling daddy, you know. But it's like, I need Jesus. I need him like all day, don't you? I mean, do you only need him on Sunday? Okay, so we're going to learn. We want to learn how to live Jesus, right? Okay. So let's do this. Just this verse. We won't even go to the rest of it. I thought we were, but it's okay. Y'all are doing real good. Okay, why? Why can the devil take it from our heart? Why can the devil take the Word of God from our heart? We're on the side. We're not committed to God. We're spectators. We're just watching. That's why America's like it is. They got all these Christians sitting in churches. And they're dead. And they have no life. Their life. Look at their own life. They're constantly chasing everybody on TV. Everybody that comes to town. Because they haven't learned to get planted where God wants them to be planted. Remember? Planted. Okay? But I got Jesus. I got Jesus yet. You might have Jesus. But He doesn't have you. Because you're off chasing everything. You're trying to heal yourself. You're trying to take care of yourself, just like I did when that guy did it. I started trying to say all these nice little sayings and things, these thoughts that I know that are true, but it's like, it wasn't healing me. Because it says, where is that? Like, something like Exodus 24, so anyway, somewhere over there, and it says, for the Lord is thy healer. I know the verse, just can't think of it off the top of my head right now. It says, for the Lord is thy healer. He wants to be your healer. He doesn't want you going somewhere else. He doesn't want you just sitting down and watching the television and, oh, I'm just going to hit, I'll let this heal me. I'll go watch my cereal, my whatever y'all call them, your series, your, you know, your junk stuff, you know, all that, you know, like Survivor. And who wants to be a survivor? I want to be an overcomer. Why would you want to be a survivor? I'm sorry. Did I say that? Anyway. Okay. So why can the devil take it from our heart? Because we're hardened. Remember? The sower. He's walking on the hard place and he's sowing into the ground that's broken up. We need to have our hearts broken up. We need to open up our hearts. Here's what you're going to do right now. Right now. Take your heart. Get a hold of your heart. See, like this. Get a hold of it this side and get a hold of it that side. Like you got doors. Now, open your heart right now to Jesus. You get it? You open your heart to Jesus. You see how simple this is? I mean, and I'm telling you, this is like, look, he started with me as a drug dealer. I mean, y'all were starting at least above ground. I was below ground. I mean, you know, I was like negative. Y'all were at least low number, but man, I was like negative. If he could do this with me, what could he do with you? You're not as bad off as I am. You don't have all this stuff to overcome that I do. You know, this is just like so cool stuff, okay? Hardened. Why are they hardened? Because they've gotten hurt. Have you been hurt? Have you put up defenses? I'm not going to let anybody hurt me anymore. All the men are bad. All the women are bad. You know, they're all stinkers. You know, whatever. You've been hurt? How about defensive? And see, if you could be honest, then you could answer your scorecard. But if you ask people around you, am I hurt? Am I defensive? Am I argumentative? Am I proud? See, I dare you to ask the people around you. I went to a church one time and the preacher kept saying, once you become a Christian, you never sin. I'm like, what? What book does he... Where? So I'm sitting in church, Eric. I raised my hand. This is down in Florida, Winter Haven, where I led my aunt to the Lord. She was 78 years old when I brought her to Jesus. And she goes to this church. When we were down there visiting, oh, Harvey, I want you to come to my church. I go to this church. This guy's up there. When you get saved, you never sin. I said, excuse me? So I said, did you say? I mean, there's like 200 people there. I don't give a rip if there's 2,000. I'm like, did you just lie in front of everybody and say this? You know, I didn't say that. I was trying to be nice. I just said, did you say this stupid thing? I didn't even say that. I said, did you say that we don't sin? And he goes, oh, yes. And then he goes off talking, and I'm like just sitting there just... My wife was probably holding me down. She probably had a hold of my leash right up by the collar. You know what I mean? Because she has to do that when we go to churches, because I have a hard time sitting there when they say all the stuff they do and do the things they do. It's like, I can't sit there and let lies go on. It's like, I got to do something about it. I'm going to blow this place up. Okay? So when the service was done, because I raised my hand so many times, Eric, they finally asked me to quit. And they said, could you talk to us after? I said, I'll be glad to, you know. So I'm like just waiting. Are you ever going to get done? Because I got stuff to say, you know. So when it was done, I make a beeline for that preacher. And I start saying stuff to him. And I said, you say you don't sin? No, I never sin. So I'm showing him verses. I have a son, 12 years old, standing behind me, pulling my coat. My 12-year-old, of course, we had our kids read the Bible every day. Before they ate breakfast, okay, because you feed your spirit before you feed your flesh. Maybe you become stronger spiritually. Ha. Huh. Let's try it. So, this 12-year-old, he's pulling, this 12-year-old is saying, tell him to go look at this verse. My kid is telling me to go tell him the verses to look at. I mean, he's telling me the verses to tell the preacher of this big church what to go look at. My 12-year-old, you get it? Is anybody getting this? And the preacher's arguing. Blah, 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 blah. You know? And finally, after giving him about 15 or 20 verses, and he's arguing with the Word of God, I drew back into God and said, Father, what do you want me to say? And that's probably one of the occasions where Father says, I was waiting for you to ask me. You know? He said, ask him this. And I said, are you married? He goes, yeah. I said, you got kids? He goes, yeah. And I said, and you never sin, right? He goes, no. I said, are your wife and your kids here? And he goes, yeah. I said, could we go ask them if you ever sin? He immediately went beet red. Steam came out of his ears. Gave me this look. Turn around. He wouldn't talk to me anymore. Would you be willing to ask the people around you, am I hardened? Am I defensive? Am I argumentative? Am I proud? Am I a know-it-all? Am I not willing to listen? It depends on how much truth you want, how much freedom you want. See, it says he set us free. He gave us freedom, or however that verse said in the song, to make us free, but it's to be free in God, not to be free to just go do anything you want. Because when you go do anything you want, you lose your peace. You lose your joy. You lose your family. You go do anything you want. Do you understand? So why could the devil come take it out of their heart? They were on the side, not committed to God, not in God's way, not spectators. They were hardened. They were hurting. They were defensive. They were argumentative. They were proud. Why else? Because they were busy. They were caught up in the way of the crowd. They just followed everybody else. Well, everybody does it. My kids used to say, I told them, I said, we don't date. I said, when you get to be a teenager, you're not going to date. But Dad, everybody dates. I said, here's the Bible. I've had you read it from cover to cover. Show me dating in the Bible. But Dad, and everybody doesn't. And I looked at my kids and I said, I know five of you that don't. The rest of the world can go to hell just like they did when the flood came and Noah. There was only 8 saved. The rest of the world drowned because only 8 got on the boat. And I told my kids, I know 5 of you that don't. The rest of the world may do it, but I know 5 of you that don't. Now, they didn't always appreciate that as they were growing up, the things that I'd let them do or not let them do. But now that they're older, I know they appreciate it because of what's in their life, where their lives are with God. And peace and joy. You see what I'm saying? It may cost you now, but there's great dividends in the long run. It's an investment. Amen? So here we go. So why can the devil take it out of our heart? Maybe because we're too busy. We're caught up in the way of the crowd. We're following others instead of following Jesus. See, how many times have I told you, I don't want you following me except as I follow Christ. The only way for you to know that is if you get in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, be ye therefore followers of me, even as I also follow Christ. I'm not trying to get you to be a Harveyite or a Sueite. I want you to be a Christian, a Christ-like believer. I want to teach you how to follow Jesus. In the beginning, it's my job to help you, teach you, show you how to get to Him, how to get your answers from Him, how to hear His voice. John 10, 5 times, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. It's real simple to hear His voice. We hear it every day. We just don't recognize it's Him, because we don't bow to it because we have our own will, and we all want to be God and run our own life. Why can the devil take it out? Because we let the devil... Now, how did that happen, Jesus? Sometimes these electronic things act weird. They act like they have a mind of their own. Verse 12, why can the devil take it out of our heart? Because they let the devil, people, we don't guard what we hear. What are we listening to? Who do you hang out with? Have you ever noticed if a woman leaves her husband, who does she listen to? She doesn't go to the preacher and ask him. She's mad at her husband. What does she do? She goes and finds other women that are mad at their husband, probably already divorced. Why would you do that? Because you're mad. And you just want to hear somebody else that'll agree with you. You don't want to hear the truth. People have said to me sometimes, don't interrupt what I believe with the truth. I already know what I believe. Don't interrupt it. Quit telling me that stuff. I already know what I believe. So they don't guard what they hear. They don't discern what they hear. They take for granted. Sometimes we come to church and we have careless hearing. We just take it like, hey, we can listen to this. And it's like, okay, well, it's his opinion. Well, it's smorgasbord. I like this. I don't like that. Careless hearing. Or we don't count the Bible as precious. You see, I count the Bible as precious. Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's why you need to read that Bible from cover to cover. That's why you need to be reading it every day, getting it in here. Because you have enough stuff out there that's going to try to infiltrate your thoughts. And all that stuff out there is not of God. It's not truth. It's not right. It won't help your marriage. Oh, if she doesn't work, just go get another one. Trade your 40-year-old for 220s. You know? That's how the world lives. Oh, it's okay. They have all these shows. They just, oh, they all sleep together. They act like it's all okay. Is it? Is it okay to be rebellious? Is it okay to be the one hot shot? But you're rebellious against all your authorities? Is that okay? Well, why do we watch that and think it's cool? What are we listening to? Do you follow me? You can just put her down and let her run. She's probably a little Energizer bunny. We'll be done. You ready? Have you? I'm just going to ask you these questions and then we'll be done. Except I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Are you committed? Are you just on the side? Are you on the wayside where it's all been trampled down? You've allowed the Word of God to be trampled down. Your life is hardened. You've been hurt. You've been, you're defensive. You're argumentative. You're proud. You're not committed. You're busy. You're caught up in the way of just following others. Does anybody want to be there? Does anybody want to admit that's where I am, but I don't want to be there? Then what I'm going to tell you to do, thank you for being honest. Anybody else want to be honest? You see, when you want freedom, freedom comes by being honest. If you want a lot of freedom, that's why I confess all my sin up here. God has me confess it all up in front of you. I don't hide. I don't play games. But I have more freedom than most of you. Because the extent of your freedom is going to be determined by the depth of your honesty. How honest are you willing to be? God, I have a hardened heart. God, I'm on the wayside. I'm not committed. I'm not committed to you. I'm not committed to your church. I'm not committed. I don't support it. I go when I feel like it, when it's convenient. I'm not committed. I'm not committed to you, God. You're not my Lord. You're just somebody I want to have around when I need somebody to make me feel good or something. I come here, Harvey makes me laugh or makes me feel good. He gives me a hug, and then I go do my little thing. Are you tired of being on the side? Wouldn't you like to be on Jesus' side? Wouldn't you like to have your heart be tender, be open? Wouldn't you like to have victory in your life? Wouldn't you like to live in joy and peace? Wouldn't you like to live where any day, every day, God, you could just have God hug you? And see, I just live where God hugs me all the time. That's where I live. Because I'm addicted to Him. I'm addicted. I need Him like every minute of every day. Like every day. Because outside of Him, there's not life. There's only existence. And I can't stand existing. Are you tired of being on the side? You tired of not being committed? You tired of being hardened? You want it to be different? Stand up. Stand up. God, I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want to have a heart that is hardened, that is not committed, that's too busy with everything else but not for you. I don't want that, God. I don't want that kind of heart. I want to have a heart that's receptive. But I need you to come. Maybe I've been hurt. I need you to come and heal me. God, I want you to come and work in my life. Deliver me. Jesus me. Do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to bring me to a place where I would be committed to you, where you would be my Lord, where you would be my life. Where you, Jesus, would be my best friend. Not just in word, not just in my imagination, but in reality. And others around me would know that I love you. But without me even saying it, they would just know by my choices. By the fragrance of my life, they would know. That's where I want to live. And I'm asking you to come and heal my heart. I'm asking you to come and change my heart. I'm asking you to do whatever it takes. I'm inviting you to come and do whatever it takes to bring me to that place, to where I would bless you, where you and I would be best friends, Jesus. If that's your prayer, just tell him, amen. Tell him, yes, Jesus. That's what I want. Now, I'm just inviting you. Everybody's got their eyes closed. I'm just inviting you. If that you just said amen, if that's your heart, just come, step out. I don't care if you take one step out from where you are or if you come all the way up here to this altar, but just come, take a step forward and tell God, that's what I want. I'm making a motion. I'm inviting all the ministers, men and women, the ministers up here. But you come up here, just take a step forward with God right now. Take a step forward. If you need prayer, you want prayer, you want somebody to pray with you, because I want to see you delivered. I want to see your life changed. I want to see joy in you. I want you to have the most awesome marriages. I want you to get over and get delivered from depression and anger. If you want to pray alone, just go to the altar. If you need a minister, come up here. We got men and women. Come up here. The ones that are badged, these are the ones that are ministers here, okay? So these are ones, we want you to be safe. That's why we train people, okay? People may walk with God and whatever, but we want to train people what God has taught us. If you want more of God, I want more of you, Jesus. I need you. Or maybe I'm indifferent, Lord, but I don't want to be indifferent because things I heard today made me think. Then take a step forward. Even if you just take one step from where you are. Faith is an action word. Just take a step. Say, God, I want you. I need you. I'm inviting you. He always accepts an invitation, by the way. So invite him. I invite you, God, to come interrupt my life with your presence. I invite you to come and make yourself real. I invite you to come and save my wretched soul. God, I don't want to pay for my sin. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know you. I need you. I don't know how to get to you, but I want to get to you. So I'm inviting you, come. You're touching me. Well, come and draw me. Do whatever it takes. Just invite him right now. I want you, Lord. I want you, Lord. I want you, Jesus. I need you. Come and do whatever. Here, I tell you what. You want to bless him? Tell him. I want you to come and do inside of me what would bless your heart, Jesus. What's the next step I need? Come work inside of me. I invite you. Now, Lord, if I resist and argue and fight and blame shift, please forgive me in advance. But don't quit. Keep coming after me. As long as I breathe, I dare you to pray that. As long as I breathe, please keep pursuing me. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. I just want to get you to Jesus. That's all I want, is to get you to Jesus. I love you. I care about you. I want to help you in your life. You don't have to be like me. Everybody ought to praise God. You don't have to be like me. You get to be like you. But you get, I want to set you free. I want to help get all that stuff that's not you, that you're living, out of you. In the process, you're not always going to like it. I have not liked what it's taken to get me here. But I've told God, even when I don't like it, don't stop. Because I trust you. You are a good God. You have what's best. You have my best in mind and heart. You love me so much that you couldn't even stay in heaven and have warm, fuzzy feelings. You said, get me a body. Let's prepare me a body so I can go become Harvey and I can die for that wretched drug dealer. He said, because I love him and I don't want him to get what he deserves. God is after you. He's after you. God is all about relationship, first with him and then to others. That's why God, when I met Jesus, I was on my knees praying with a man, and what I saw was Jesus walk in the room just like this. Because he's all about relationship. Come to me. Come to me. That's what he's saying. Come to me. He's knocking on your heart. Come to him. Father, I'm going to release all these people because that's what I feel like you're telling me to do. I'm going to release them. And I want you to I want you to get all over them like skin. I want you to get all over them like white on rice. Turn them every way but loose. I pray that you would just overwhelm them with your love and your goodness. Because the goodness of God, the Bible says, leads a person to repentance. And Lord, that we would come to you. And Father, I'm just committing them in your hands. Keep them safe. Keep them safe. Protect them. Help them right now to make the choice. I don't want the devil to take any of the words out of my heart. I want to guard. I want to meditate on what was said today. I want to think on these things. So please come remind me through the week, God. Please come remind me what was said today. I don't want to just have warm, fuzzy feelings. I had a nice little stand-up comic service. No. I want it to be truth, words of life that would change my life. And I just say, thank you, Jesus. I commit each one of these. We're ending the service for those of you that need to leave. You go ahead. Just don't interrupt what God's doing. But I release you. Before you leave, please come get a hug. I want a hug. So come get a hug before you leave. Okay? I want a hug.